Hello, I want to welcome you to program number 4 in this series about becoming the person that you want to be. You know, one of the things that has to happen anytime you're going to make any journey of faith is you have to decide the outcome that you want. You know, God leaves our choices to us. If we don't decide what kind of person that we want to be, then the truth is we're probably not going to become that kind of person. You see, most people live by default. We have bought into the religious idea that God is controlling all of the outcomes, and that is just not what the Bible teaches. That's not what Jesus taught. That's not what Moses taught. That's nowhere through the Bible does it tell you that God controls all the outcomes. In fact, it tells you just the opposite. It tells you that you've got to make your own choices. You got to choose this day whom you will serve. You got to choose life or death. You got to choose to obey or disobey. You got to choose to deal with your thoughts, feelings, and emotions. And anything that you don't make a choice to do, then you default to circumstances. You default to whatever's going on around you, going on outside of you. So the whole reason I'm telling you this, and the whole reason we started out with this character sketch, and at the end in our mentoring section we'll be going back to this, is if you don't decide what kind of person you want to be, then the default situations around you, or the situations around you, will cause you to default to the world around you, which means basically you will be what the Bible calls carnal, a carnal Christian, a Christian who is living within this natural realm, controlled by this natural realm. But when you decide what kind of person you want to be, I'm telling you, something happens inside of you, because God created you to be a person of faith. And a person of faith is a person who believes God's promises, knows that God is faithful and true, knows that the Spirit of God is inside of us, knows therefore that we can make any decision based on what God says, and we can trust God to work in us for that particular outcome to happen. You know, in teaching about faith, the first step of any journey in faith is to decide the outcome that you want. Now, some people I know are going to write me and say, no, you know, God's going to decide the outcome. I'm just going to follow God. If it's in the Word of God, if it's been promised by God, if it's consistent with the character of God, you can make that decision and you can trust God to work in you. So from the very beginning, we started this thing by saying, decide what kind of person you want to be. Decide how you want to affect people around you. You know what? That really, really gets it real. That really gets it real basic, because sometimes we can deceive ourselves and we can say, well, I want to be I want to be a spiritual person, but I might have a faulty definition of spirituality. So God told us that the best way to understand spirituality, the best way to understand God's priorities, according to Jesus, is love God, love people, love yourself. That means that everything that I believe about God, every doctrine that I have, every theological position I have, should accomplish those goals. It should cause me to fall more deeply in love with God, or have more value for God, because that's what the word agape love means, to value or to consider something precious. So every doctrine, every theological position, everything about my spiritual beliefs should be making me realize how valuable God is. But secondly, it should be making me realize how valuable people are, treating people in a way that conveys value. But also, see, I'm supposed to love others the way I love myself. That means I have to have value for myself, not in a self-centered way. I'm not talking about, you know, something sick or twisted, but I'm talking about having the same value for myself that God has. And the value that He has for me is that Jesus came and gave His life. So you know what that means? I can't treat myself bad. I can't be a doormat for other people. I have to have my own personal boundaries. So we decide what, you know, am I going to be a spiritual man? Am I going to be a carnal man? Well, you say, well, what do you mean carnal? That sounds really, really bad. You know, the word carnal just basically means natural. A natural man or a natural person or a carnal person is a person who lives pretty much by their 5 senses. You see, we have these 5 senses that make it possible for us to be in touch with the world around us. And these five senses send information to our brain, and our brain determines a sense of reality based on the input or the information that we're getting through our five senses. Now, so this is what it means to be natural. You know, and this is the reason that when we die, because our body dies, and these five senses, we lose contact with this world, with this natural world around us. And but because our inner man is still alive, then we are still always in touch with the spiritual world. So we have an inner five senses. You see, all of the five senses that are described for the natural man are actually mirrored in the spiritual man. You know, the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord's good. Hear, you know, listen to the voice of the Lord. The Bible talks about seeing things with the eyes of your heart. The Bible talks about smelling the sweet aroma of God. So the five natural senses that we have are mirrored internally, and the internal senses cause us to be able to stay in touch with God, not just in touch with God informationally, but stay in touch with the power of God, stay in touch with the life of God. Experiencing God inwardly, even though outwardly we're experiencing the world around us. You know, it's interesting, the Bible talks about exercising yourself unto godliness. Now, I find it to be a real interesting thing because you see, if I can exercise myself unto godliness, then that means that's something that I can put into practice, that as I put it into practice, it improves. Now, we've already talked about the fact that when you got born again, the Spirit of God came inside you. You were made righteous. Because the Spirit of God is in you, the grace of God is at work inside you, which means the power, the ability, the strength, the capacity of God that works from your heart. It comes by unmerited favors given to you freely. So God's power is inside of me. Now, if I exercise myself unto godliness, well, pick any godly character. Let's say if I decide I want to be a kinder person. And if depending on God, if trusting God to help me be aware of my behavior and situations that I would normally be unkind, if I yield to the Spirit of God inside me, I yield to kindness, then that's just like going out here and lifting weights. You get up every day and you start doing some curls, and before long, you know, you can lift 5 more pounds than you used to, and before long you can 10 more pounds, and before long 20 more pounds, and you build up your muscles, you strengthen yourself. Well, that's exactly what happens in our heart as we depend on God's strength. The more we become comfortable and the more natural it becomes to yield to God's strength, then the more it happens in our life in a natural way. It's not that God's strength gets bigger, it's that God's strength flowing through us gets bigger because we learn to depend on that strength. That's what the Bible calls magnifying the Lord. You know, really, you can't magnify, you can't make God bigger, but you can make God bigger in your experience. You can make God bigger in the way you deal with life. So I want to train myself to listen to the inner man. I want to train myself to listen to the voice of my heart. That's really what the Bible calls a spiritual man. You know, all of this starts with a decision and a commitment to do so. You know, you make the decision, I'm going to follow God. I fully commit myself to following God. But you also make the decision, I am going to listen for the voice of God inside my heart. And once you make that decision, and the Bible gives you ways to train and to develop yourself, once you make that decision and you begin to make it a way of life and you train and develop yourself, you will get to the place to where you are more influenced by what's happening inside you than you are what's happening in the world around you. So I made up my mind, I'm going to love God, I'm going to love people, I'm going to love myself. And so from that perspective, let me just tell you a few things you can do to start hearing the voice of God in your own heart. You know, first of all, God's not going to say anything to you that's inconsistent with what he's already said in the Bible. So God's not going to be telling you weird, flaky things. And, you know, there's some people that just every thought that runs through their mind, they think it's the voice of God. And you don't want to be like that. You want to, the Bible says to judge everything. It's talking about judge everything that you hear. You want to know for sure that what you're hearing is the voice of God. Well, that's going to happen first and foremost as you read and familiarize yourself with the Word of God. Because even though the Word of God has been deposited inside you, you want to know in your mind, you want to confirm that which has been written inside you. You want to be able to confirm that with your mind so that there's harmony between how you think and what God is really saying inside you. But when you read the Bible, I just want to encourage you this. Always read the Bible prayerfully and always read the Bible from this perspective. Father, I depend on you to teach me. And today, as I'm reading the Word, show me how I can apply this to my life. Now, those of you who have heard me teach for very long, you've heard me say this, and I always say this, that Jesus said the only way you could really know if the doctrine that you're hearing is true is if you have the intention of putting it into practice. So there's a lot of theoretical stuff I used to hear in church, and I'd sit there and I'd think, well, that sounds good. I'd go up and talk to the pastor afterwards. I said, now, you said to listen to God, so how do you do that? And what I found was that people would tell me things that I ought to do, but they had no idea about how to do it. So I started realizing that many of the sermons that I was hearing were really theoretical ideas of what we ought to do, but nobody was really doing it. Nobody was really putting it into practice, or the people that were preaching it, they weren't putting it in practice. And I tell you, I remember making that decision. I'll never be an ought-to preacher. I'm not going to tell people what they ought to do. I'm going to share the truth with people, and then I'm going to share some ways to get it to work. I'm going to share some ways to put it into practice. Now, the ways that I share with you, it's not the only way. I'm just sharing some things to give you some ideas so you can start applying the Word of God to your life. But I'm telling you, when I gave my life to Jesus, I started, you know, the first thing after giving my life to Him as Lord was, I'm going to read the Bible, I'm going to believe what I find in here, you got to show me how to make this work in my life. And what you'll find is when you're reading with your heart open to the Holy Spirit to be your teacher, and you have the intention to put it into practice, you'll be reading these things and you will see ways to apply it to your life. And the more you do that, the more you come to recognize when God is speaking to your own heart, because that's happening as you're reading the Bible, and you've got the Bible itself confirming and showing you that this is actually God's voice. And over time, you get to where you pray and listen, and you start gaining the ability, because you've been doing it as you read the Bible, see, you're exercising yourself to godliness. So you start gaining this ability to notice what God is saying in your own heart. And so then in daily life, and when I talk about pray and listen, I'm not just talking about the formal time that we spend in prayer. I want to tell you, it's not the formal time, even though there's a great value for formal time of prayer. And I think it's healthy and important for people to have time that they set apart just for themselves and God, whether it's prayer, prayer in the Word, prayer in worship. But prayer, and when I use the word prayer, I'm just talking about any communication, any true open communication with God. But while time set apart to God has one certain value, the truth is what's really going to navigate you through life and cause you to succeed in your business dealings, help you deal with your kids, help you through marriage difficulties, is when you do what the Apostle Paul says, you pray without ceasing. In other words, you develop this inner listening where you're always attentive to your heart, because that's where God speaks to you. You're always attentive to your heart, and you're recognizing when God is speaking to you. And in those very situations, instead of judging things based on what you see and hear and touch and smell, and instead of judging things based on how you did it in the past, you're hearing the wisdom of God about what to do in that particular situation. You know, something that I did, and I still do this from time to time. I don't do it quite as much as I did when I first got saved. You know, first got saved, man, I was so hungry to know God. I wanted to know God. I wanted to hear His voice. I didn't get in this to play games. I didn't get in this to be religious. I got in this because I needed God. I needed a change in my life. And so, you know, the first many years that I was saved, the first 8 or 10 years that I was saved, you know, I would set myself aside for 3, 10, 21 days, or sometimes 30-day fast. And, you know, I would arrange my work schedule to be able to do this, and I would set myself apart, and I would just fast and pray. Now, I'll tell you, we misunderstand the value of fasting. One of the things, one of the terminology that the Bible uses quite often in relationship to fasting, it refers to humbling the soul or the effect that it has on the soul. You see, fasting to try to get God to do something is religious legalism. You can't, there's not enough of any performance. There's not enough sacrifice that you can do to get God to do anything more than what He's done. Because Jesus has already given His life. We don't have to make the sacrifice to get God to do things. Jesus paid that price. So fasting doesn't affect God, but I tell you what fasting does do, it affects me. And I have learned from years and years and years of extended fasting that what happens as I fast, that a couple of things happen. Number one, I have to deal with hunger. And, you know, some people just fast and they just think about hunger and think about food. No, when you get hungry and you're fasting, this is where you go into your inner man. This is where you connect with the grace of God inside you. This is where you confess the word over yourself. And you experience the power, the grace, the strength of God to overcome hunger. And I got news for you. Hunger is the deepest driving physical force that there is. It's deeper than your sex drive. It's deeper than any other drive that you have. And when you can experience the grace of God to overcome hunger, I got news for you. You can experience the grace of God to overcome any physical desire or temptation that'll ever come to you. Second thing is that as you fast, you become less and less aware of your five senses, and you become more and more aware of your inner man. And so you're developing this inner awareness. You're developing this. And what I would find myself doing, I'd find myself reading the Bible and really pondering things for hours on end and hearing the voice of God and having insight into the Scripture. And, you know, and again, when I would fast, I wouldn't fast and go to work. It's not an endurance contest. I'm not doing it to try to get God to do anything. It was time set apart. Not only set apart from the world, but set apart from these five senses where I would connect with God in my inner man. I know there's a lot of people that don't like that. Some people think that's legalism. It's only legalism if you think it will get God to do something for you. But see, I want to be spiritually minded. You know, the book of Romans chapter 8 says this. It says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. In other words, the law never could bring anybody the life of God. The law is the wisdom of God. The law shows us who God is. The law shows us a picture of what our character should be. The law shows us how to conduct business. It shows us things about health, but it shows us things about relationship and finance. But I tell you what the law can't do. It can't make you righteous. You can't obey enough of the law to become righteous. So it says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, I want to point out something right there. Even though we're not trying to live by the law, when we are spiritually minded, this passage of Scripture says that the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. In other words, we end up doing those things that are in the law because we're yielded to our inner man. We're yielded to the life of God inside of us. But we're not doing it by our own strength. We're not doing it to earn anything from God. We're doing it because we are a new creation. And the more we listen to and yield to the Spirit of God inside of us, the more God leads us to walk into the character of His Word. So The whole key to this, though, is to become spiritually minded. And to be spiritually minded basically gets down to, where is your attention? What are you most aware of? Verse 5 says this in Romans 8. It says, "For those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds or their attention on the things of the flesh, on these five senses, on gratifying these five senses. But those who live according to the Spirit, they set their mind on the things of the Spirit, looking inward, seeking to experience God, seeking to hear God, seeking to follow the wisdom of God." So you see, life, I'm talking about the life of God, manifests itself to the spiritually minded. Now, it's given to all men freely through the Lord Jesus, but that does not mean that all men are going to have a manifestation of the life of God inside of them. You know, healing has been purchased for all men, but not all men get healed. Salvation has been purchased for all men, but not all men get saved. Prosperity has been purchased for all men, but not all men prosper. But you see, we access these things because we look to the Spirit of God inside of us, and we listen to the voice of God in our heart, and we follow and we walk in what God is saying to us. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit. But now listen to this, verse 6. To be carnally minded is death. Now, this is a letter written to Christians. And this is Christians being warned that, now, if you're carnally minded, if you're naturally minded, if you got your mind and your awareness set on these things out here, he says, really, you're just going to experience death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So, if I'm looking out here, it's going to be death. Why? Because it's all based on circumstances. It's all based on the illusion of reality. It's all based on everything natural. But you know what? If I'm listening in here, if I've exercised myself to godliness, if I'm listening and looking in here, not only do I hear God leading me and showing me what to do, but I experience the light, the power to do it. And so inwardly, no matter what's going on the outside of me, I'm filled with peace. I want to tell you something, peace and life go hand in hand. You can't have life without peace. And you can't have peace without knowing that life, God's quality of life, is yours. Now listen, verse 7. Because the carnal mind, the natural mind, the mind that is paying attention to everything out here, listen, is enmity against God. Now, nobody that's got their attention focused out there is trying to be against God, but they will find themselves moving in opposition to how God's trying to move in their life because they are aligning themselves with the natural world. They're aligning themselves with what they see, hear, smell, taste, touch. They're aligning themselves with what their mind tells them is real, rather than what their heart tells them is real. Listen to this about the carnal mind. It is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh, verse 8 says, cannot please God. Now, it didn't say they probably wouldn't. It didn't say they would sometimes not please God. It says that when you live in the flesh, and it explained that living in the flesh is when your mind or your attention is on what comes to you through these five senses. It says it will be impossible to please God. It will be impossible to experience the life and peace of God, because in reality, you will always find yourself moving against God or against His truth. You know, again, you're not in your mind, you're not trying to move against God. But when you're moving against His truth, you are moving against God. And no matter how much God loves you, He can't deliver you from the choice to live a destructive life. You know, the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Paul said in the book of Romans, if you're carnally minded or in the flesh, you can't please God. See, I've got to make up my mind that I am who God says I am. Jesus really did what the Bible says He did. It is all mine right now because I am in Him. And I've got to do whatever it takes to become immovable about that reality, immovable about the fact that all the promises of God are mine, I'm delivered from all the curses, that I can be the person that I want to be, no ifs, ands, or buts, no excuses, and I've got to make that choice, and then I've got to exercise myself to godliness. I've got to take the steps it takes to start hearing, experiencing, empowered by the Holy Spirit who lives inside us. Listen, I promise you, you can live an incredible life. You can have the life you want to have. You can experience God's promises. You can leave the past behind. You can leave yesterday behind. You can leave all the weaknesses and limitations behind. And you can be the person you want to be. All right, this is your last assignment in your mentoring session for this series. You started out by saying, what kind of person do I want to be? What kind of effect do I want to have on people? Now, if you've never done this with me before, or even if you have, you might want to do this again. Now that you've thought about, okay, this is the effect that I want to have on people, then this is the way that I need to treat people. This is the behavior I need to have if I want to have this kind of effect. Now you write your character sketch. And your character sketch is where you simply write down first person, present tense, always in the positive form. And by that, I mean you're not trying to talk about what you're trying to stop doing. You're always emphasizing what you are doing and what you're starting. So let's say that you've said, you know, I want to be kinder to people. I want people to feel loved. I want people to feel safe. I want people to trust me. I want people to like me, or, you know, whatever it is that you said that you want the effect to be on people. So now you write your character sketch. And you include all of these traits that you said you're going to have, and you include all these things that you said you wanted people to experience. So, and you write it in the first person as if it is real right now, and you address it to God. Father, I thank you that I am a new creation. Because I'm a new creation, I thank you that I treat people in a way that they always feel loved and they always feel safe. I thank you that I listen and I pay attention when other people talk. I thank you, Father, that I really am concerned about other people's well-being. I thank you, Father, that in every situation, I'm always aware of how to best express love. I'm always aware of how to bring out the very best in a person. I thank you that no matter what anybody says to me, I overlook insults and I encourage people. I help people move beyond their boundaries. Write you out a character sketch, putting it all in the first person, present tense, in the positive form. And then every day, I just want you to read this and commit this to the Lord as your way of life.